Chaim, I'm a sexaholic. We are doing, I guess, number two in the ninth step. And number two in the ninth step, the ninth step says, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Basically, this idea of making direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. It's interesting that in the big book, the ninth step, the promises of the entire program comes true in the ninth step. And basically, if I start living my life in a life atmosphere of, when I do something wrong, I simply admit it. And I walk over the person and I make amends. And I basically just reconnect the relationship. And instead of living a life of hell and pain and confusion and that feeling of I took an action and should I tell my wife and shouldn't I tell my wife, you know, that feeling of walking around, of like feeling like you want to kill yourself, the feeling of I took an action of lust and I don't want to tell my sponsor, should I tell him, shouldn't I, the feeling of of I hurt my kid or I hurt my wife or I hurt the guy in the store, I hurt my neighbor, and like, oh my gosh, it's so painful and confusing and I don't know what to do about it, as opposed to simply admitting it, simply apologizing, and simply being happy, joyous, and free. The ninth step promises comes as a result of living my life in a sense of I admitted powerless, I found a power greater than myself, my life was hell, my life was confusing, my life, I couldn't do anything straight. But I found this power that could do it for me. And I gave over my will and my life over to the care of this power. And I wrote down on a list all the people I resent and all the people I have fears about. And all places and institutions. And I made rights to them all. I worked through it. I own my part in it. And then simply by getting to a place of saying, hey God, you know, I turn around and I realize, you know, my resentments and my fear caused so much harm and so much sex conduct as a result. And I realized that the character defects that comes as a result of the sex conduct and the character defects that come as a result of me being confused and pain and the character defects that just God gave me, simply, character defects that God gave me. As a result of all those character defects and as a result of this insane life, I've caused a lot of pain to people, primarily my wife, primarily my children, primarily myself. Those are the three main things. And I distanced myself from a relationship with a higher power. Even if I was praying, even if I was doing rituals, even if I was acting in a Jewish sense, correct, I distanced myself from God. How could I be one with God when I'm not one with myself and I'm not one with the people around me? But now, the beauty is, for me to get to a place in my step nine and say, hey, you know something? I'm ready to make it all right. I'm ready to stop this insanity, and I'm ready to make it all right. If we're painstaking about our development, we'll be amazed before we are halfway through. That is the fact. There is nobody amongst our fellowship that hasn't been amazed through halfway through. By the time you're doing your step 6 and 7, you're on a different world. What's so beautiful of our program is there's one place that the book is lying. It's right here. We'll be amazed within 30 days of staying sexually sober and lust-free and working the program. We'll just be a different person. There's an attitude change. You're seeing people in the program and people sharing in meetings. It's like, wow, where this guy was 3 months ago, 30 days ago? Where this guy's attitude of anger and resentment and fears and entitlement and frustration. We'll be amazed before we're 30 days through. The miracles of the ninth step at the end of the day is beyond. We're going to know a new freedom. a new happiness. I know a new freedom today. I know a new happiness. I absolutely will not regret the past nor to shut the door on it. I don't regret the past as much as I did when I came into program. Some of the stuff I feel bad for. But you know something? Every single one of those actions of lust that I took and every single one of those insanities that I did are helping other people today. So how do I shut the door on it? As a result of my insanity, even my most crazy stuff is being useful to somebody else today and helping other people. We'll comprehend the word serenity and we'll know peace. I have serenity on a daily basis today, and I do have peace on a daily basis today. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience has benefited others, like I said before. No matter what I did, it's benefiting other people. The feeling of usefulness and self-pity will disappear. One of the biggest things in program is after we get sober, we start the self-pity idea. Of poor me, look what kind of stupid life, and I'm worthless, and I'll never work out. It disappears. It really does. We lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. If I'm still interested in selfish things, that means I didn't have a spiritual awakening in this program. If it's all about my dollar and about my sex, then I miss the key component of this whole program. The whole program is to get out of self. Self-masturbation, self-indulgement in porn, I don't give a crap, I'm going to have sex with a prostitute, I don't care about anybody else, I'm going to a strip club massage parlor. We get rid of self in order to be selfless to other people. If that's not happening, then I'm on the wrong course and program. If when my wife is hurting, it's not about how could I be of service towards her as opposed to, yeah, but she has a part. But look what she's doing. If I am not there to be of service, how could I ever get out of self? I need to get out of myself, and I'm grateful today that I see that if I'm not getting out of myself, it's as a result of me again being busy with my lust, my money, me. Our whole attitude and outlook on life will change. That again, that attitude of money and sex and lust and myself. It's true. Fear of people and financial insecurity will leave us. I used to be a needing to please and appease people around me all the time. That was the fact. I needed people to... I had such a discomfort with people. I needed to be who everybody was. So if I'm in a room of 10 different people, it's very hard for me because I need to be for each one of those 10 people somebody else. That will leave. That left to a huge extent. A huge extent. The economic insecurity will leave us. On a day-to-day basis, I have fears of economic insecurity. That is the fact. That is the reality I do. But on a day-to-day basis, it also leaves. On a day-to-day basis, it also leaves. I could work my program on it. I could say, God, take it away. And it comes back, and it goes. And it comes back, and it goes. But basically, on a day-to-day basis, it does leave when I work my program on it. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Those situations when my wife, my children, my family, those situations of... Most recent, my kid needing to get into a school, and should we send him into school or should we keep him back into a regular playgroup? It would bend me out of shape. Situations with work and situations with life, and it left. I could deal with situations, and my wife shared with me after years in recovery that anytime something happened in the home, she would freak out because she had nobody who to deal with. Any situation used to just crumble us. Because there was nothing there. There was nothing to stand on. So anything just would blow us over. A strong tree just moves in the wind, and it looks gorgeous in the wind when the wind blows. A tree that is, there's nothing there, there's no roots in the soil, it just falls right over. To be able to have roots today in program that holds me through God, we suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I like the word, it's we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. On a daily basis, I suddenly realized, like, oh my God. On a daily basis, there are situations where throughout the day, it's like, I can't believe this is where I'm holding. Yesterday in the morning, I had some financial fear. And I met a guy just on the way to work, a friend of mine, years ago. Sitting in the car, he's struggling financially, and we're talking for a few minutes, and he's like, Chaim, 2 years ago, I remember meeting up with you randomly. I haven't spoken to this guy in a while. And he said, I remember you telling me that you didn't know if you're staying in your job. I didn't know, you were telling me you don't know, like, what's going to be. 2 years later, what's going on? Today I'm settled in my job. I'm secure in my job. I'm okay. It's like sudden. It's like, whoa. It's like, wow. It's like my 10-year-old, my 12-year-old son, who I was having so much difficulty with, he's thriving. The kid is on a walking high. It's unreal to see. All my children. I have a daughter who I struggle with. She needed to go to self-contained classroom. You hear it a lot in the program, you know, with kids. I was the issue with her. I was the issue with this kid. This kid was tantruming around the house, throwing things, screaming, having breakdowns, isolating anger that would come out of his child. This kid, today we joke around about it in the house. One day, literally at the age of like, I think 5 or 6, she's like, in front of everybody's like, I hate Tati so much, I'm running out of the house, I'm going to look for a new Tati, I'm never coming back again in my whole entire life, I hate you all. At 5. You're like, no, but this kid needs medication. This kid has serious issues. That's what came up for me. No, I have serious issues. Me. This kid didn't feel safe in my presence enough. Not because I wasn't safe, but the kid wasn't feeling safe enough to make myself more loving and more giving and more comfortable in this kid's presence, to be able to just hug this kid. And this kid has difficulties. This kid is more of the challenging child. Everybody has challenging children. This is one of the more challenging. To be able to be supportive and to be able to be loving for this child. Are these extreme, extravagant promises? We think not. They are being filled amongst us. I need to know if I'm sitting in a meeting and these promises are not in a person's life, that means the person is not working this program. I needed that message to be knocked into my brain by my sponsor daily. If my life is not continuously improving, it's as a result of me not working this program. It's a result of me just coming to this program like another. It's a fellowship. It's a nice place to hang out. It's a nice place to sit around and bull around and to talk after the meeting and to just, you know, every once in a while I do step work. But I didn't obviously hit my bottom then. This program promises. Now think about it. I came to this program for one reason only. I think we all did. That's to keep our zipper closed and not screw around anymore. Nobody spoke about financial insecurity. Nobody told us if you come to the program, you're going to get your financial insecurity. Nobody told us that we're not going to be self-seeking. Nobody told us we're going to be selfless. Nobody told us that we're going to be able to be useful for so many other people. Nobody told us about that self-pity would disappear. Nobody promised me that if you work this program, you're gonna know suddenly a new peace and a serenity, and you're gonna have. Nobody told me that. I'm here for one purpose, is not to act out and not to lust today. But the beauty is, as a result, all these promises come true. All these promises come true. I guess one other thing. I think it's important to elaborate on the 9th step and to move to the 10th step is the humility again and again to recognize that I am a flawed person. I am naturally flawed. How can't you be flawed if the only thing you want to do all day is look at naked butts? Think about it. You want to look at people's most private parts. I mean, how flawed? I mean, I'm a flawed individual. I'm screwed up in the brain. Let's call it for what it is. I want to undress people. I want to be busy all day with watching porn. And I'm flawed. I'm a sick puppy. I'm willing to take my wife and children and put them, I don't know where, in order for me to be able to get a lust and to be able to get a high off of lust. Isn't it sick? I'm flawed. I am flawed in such a huge level in my life. But there's so much hope. There's so much hope in the program. And we could be happy. And we could be joyous. And we could get the serenity in our life. And the things that used to baffle us won't baffle us anymore. If we start living a life of humility, a life of willing to amend relationships, instead of the quick fix, we're all quick fix junkies. If there's a problem, let me go to a therapist. If there's a problem, let me call the rub. If there's a problem, let me try to get this solution. If there's a problem, let me try to take Medicaid. Instead of just dealing with the issue one day at a time, the reality is the program does give us the gifts. If we mend our relationship, and we're going to know the word serenity, and what's so interesting, we're going to even know it on a deeper level with God. We're going to amend our relationship with God, and that's the last thing I want to talk about. All of us are, in the white book, he talks about so much so that we're relationship cripples. We don't know how to have a relationship with each other. We don't know how to have a relationship with our wives, with our children, with God. This program provides us with relationship capabilities. I could have a relationship, thank God, today with my wife, with my children, and a relationship with God. And that is one of the keys. We find God or we die in this program. To be able to be comfortable, to talk to God, took me years in program to start really, and it doesn't have to take that long. That's why I'm saying it. It doesn't have to take long to be able to talk to God like I talk to my child. I'm hurting and I'm confused and I'm sad and I'm not sure where to go, and please show me the way, and please give me a beer hug and show me I'm okay and I'm comfortable. And we could start talking to God, and we could take a walk with God. We could hold God with us. We could feel the presence of God. I don't anymore have to lust. I don't anymore have to act out. I don't anymore have to be in pain. And again, a reminder, this program works if you work it. The average guy doesn't work the program, and that's why the average guy in program doesn't stay sober long term. It's not because the program is flawed. It's because I'm flawed. It's because we're flawed. It's because the average guy doesn't show up to a meeting every single day like his life depends on it. And it's interesting, yesterday, and I'm just going to say this because I think it's important for anybody that listens to the recording or just for us to know. I was talking to my sponsor yesterday as well. And we were saying, you know, we're from the longest guys in the program here. And we're sober for almost combination towards like 18 years. And in our experience, we have seen in this fellowship that the reason the program doesn't work is because people don't take the program like it's life and death. It's another thing we do. We go to work. We pray. We put on Teflons. We drop off kids at school in the morning. We go for pizza. I go to a meeting. We have fellowship. It's not our life. When I came into this program, everybody was saying, Chaim, you have cancer, you're going to die. You have cancer, you're going to die. You have cancer, you're going to die. And it drilled into my brain from the old timers, from the 8 conventions I went to. You're going to die. You're busy with what? You're busy with your religious practices. You're busy with your finances. You have cancer, you're going to die. Get to another meeting. Sit down and do step work. I don't care about your rituals and religion. I don't care about anything. I care about the program. You're going to die. You have cancer. And that got knocked deep into my brain. And constantly, me and my sponsor give each other these messages of, again, reminding ourselves, you have cancer, you're going to die. I don't care if you're sober for 6 months, for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years, for 8 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. Cancer, you're going to die. Everything else is meaningless in life. The only thing that's meaningful in my life is the program. And if I put my program first, then I get all these promises. But if the idea is, yeah, there's a meaning, there's a program, there's phone calls we make, but then there's life. No, life is a program. Then there's the other things we deal with. And as a result of putting program first, I have everything else in my life. When I put program last, everything else disappears with the program. And to remember that the program does work and to carry that messages. And the reason I'm emphasizing this so strongly is there's so many guys that are relapsing, so many guys struggling in program, so many guys that I just can't get it. Not one of those guys that I ever, in my almost 8.5 years in this fellowship, ever heard that the guy is coming to a meeting every day, doing step work every day, sitting with a sponsor once or twice a week, communicating with other people in this fellowship, getting through his steps, staying lust-free and talking to other people. And somehow one day I just hacked it out. Somehow, I don't know where it came from. Somehow one day, all of a sudden, my life crumbled. Somehow one day, my wife wanted a divorce. Somehow one day, never ever did it happen in our fellowship, ever. The reason why people are acting out after years of sobriety or after weeks or months and everything, because they stop working the program. The shower that I took yesterday has zero to do with today. Zero. And I need to drill this into my mind. Because at certain points, even being a guy who's sober for years in program, you start doubting. So many people are struggling. So many people are acting out. So many people are not working this program. So many people are scared to carry the corrected message, are scared to drop sponsees, are scared to drop sponsors, are scared to keep telling other people that, no, I'm not here to listen to you bitching. I'm here to tell you that, for me, I could not stay sober and lust-free today. I could when I worked the program. I've been doing it now for years. I couldn't years ago. And the miracles do happen. Last night in the shower, instead of thinking about how I could play with my penis or in a fantasy, I'm thinking of, oh, I need to call back this sponsee. This guy in program is hurting. Oh, what should I do with this guy? Oh, my wife, I think, was uncomfortable about this. Let me be there for her. When that's my attitude and that's my life, I don't sit in lust. I don't act out. When my attitude is, let's see how far I could play with lust. Let's see where I could call myself lust-free, but yet get some lust. If that's my whole attitude in this program, I'm a dead duck. If my whole attitude and program is being right instead of being happy, then I'm going to live my life being right and being miserable. So that's why a lot of people are miserable, because they're busy with being right. I gave up the whole right thing in this program. I gave up this whole idea to be happy, happy, joyous, and free. And that's what the ninth step, that's what all the steps promise. So the people that are still coming back should continue coming back, because you even see it, you know, in the workshops. You know, a lot of people come and then they stop. And then they come. And then all Chaim, these are the people that are going to call me in 2 weeks from now and say, Chaim, I don't know. Could you help me? I acted out. Oh, really? Who would have thought? Well, I got news for you. If you go into a pool, you get wet. If you come to the program and you work it, you get wet with spirituality and it drowns you into the fellowship. But if you stop coming swimming, so of course, you're not going to learn how to swim and you're not going to be drenched in this program. So sub-dates mean nothing. How long you're in a fellowship means nothing. It means one thing. It gives you an insurance policy that if you don't keep coming back tomorrow, you're a dead man. So the miracles have happened in my life. The miracle has happened in tons of people's life. I would strongly suggest finding a network of people that are really zapped into recovery, that it's their life, it's their essence. And then all the miracles happen. And as soon as we walk out the door and we give up the program gives up on us and we're back out there. Whether I feel like I have cancer, whether I know I have cancer, whether I don't know I have cancer, whether I'm confused what level cancer I have, I need to go for my treatment. The guy who wakes up in the morning and says, oh, I don't feel the diabetes in me, and doesn't take his insulin or take that needle or whatever he needs to do, I don't feel it. You know what's going to happen throughout the day? He's going to get very, very sick. I am very sick by the mere fact that I open my eyes in the morning. I need to take my medicine on a daily, daily basis. And the program works. That's what I got. Thanks. Let's wrap it up for step 10. Just to finish up, the reading of step 10 in the white book is fabulous. I don't care if you're up to step 1 or 2 or 3 or 5. Read step 10 in the white book. This is one thing which we're going to talk about heavily the next time. I'm so grateful to God that he actually wrote this in the white book. I've been talking about this for years in this program, and I couldn't find a place where it talks about it. On page 133, I'm the key. It's exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 small paragraphs. I am the key. Two pages. Page 133 and 134. I am the key to my problems in life, in short and sweet. I'm the key to the wreckage of my marriage. I'm the key to the problems in finances. I'm the key to all my problems. When I change my attitude in life, life is different. If I walk out of here and my glasses are blurry, and my glasses are all scratched up, everything looks scratched and everything looks foggy. When I take my glasses and start cleaning it, everything is blissful. So very strongly recommend the entire reading of Step 10 in the White Book. Fabulous reading. Especially page 133 in the white book. Meditate on it, read it and read it and read it, and pass the message on. Let's wrap it up.